My dear devotees, please take a moment to look around and take in the beautiful and unforgettable spiritual atmosphere, but also romantic scenery of Sweta Ganga. It is very wonderful. Today, we will be speaking on Srila Haridas Thakur. And I would like to request you to chant with me one line from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, through which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Haridas Thakur. Jaya Jaya Haridasa, 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 Jaya Haridasa, Jaya Jaya Haridasa, Jaya Haridasa. In Haridas Thakur's prayers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are reminded of a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is, amongst many, many other things, a process which goes deep inside the heart of the sadhaka. Prabhupada once described that the whole effort of practicing Krishna consciousness is meant to transform the heart, so that with a transformed heart, the idea of servitorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely natural. So Krishna consciousness aims at the transformation of the heart. And this really means that it can never be a mindless process, an automatic process, a mechanical process. Whatever we do in Krishna consciousness, if we really want to achieve the transformation of the heart, has to be a mindful process, something which involves the consciousness, something which involves remembering Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri revealed these 24 hours of ecstasy, where he showed his devotees the different incarnations, the different manifestations of Lord Krishna, he also called Haridas forth. Haridas came to Mahaprabhu, and as he saw his Lord in such a divine ecstasy, where he really had shown forms of Rama and of Krishna, Haridas rolled on the ground. And after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas to speak his prayers. Now, what would the Namacharya pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said, "My dear Lord, remembering you, all the devotees have obtained success. But I don't remember you. I forget you always." He said, "Prahlad Maharaj, in the time of greatest danger, remembered you. And you appeared before Prahlad Maharaj. Or Sati, the chaste wife of Shiva, when she was surrounded by three insurmountable witches, demons, asuras, she simply remembered you. And by this remembrance, she was absolved from all difficulties. And even the unfortunate Ajamil, by a little remembrance of you, you saved him from the clutches of the Yamadutas. But I, my dear Lord, I cannot remember you. When Haridas Thakur said this, he was overwhelmed with humility. And again, he rolled on the ground in great desperation that his mind would not remember Lord Chaitanya or Lord Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was very much moved. And he said to Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, what blessings do you want? Listen to Haridas Thakur's request. He said, my dear Lord, I want that you allow me that I can eat the remnants of foodstuffs left over from your devotees. This should be my meal. This blessing has a deep significance, my dear devotees. Those who cannot think of Krishna because the thinking has gone in a different direction, away from Krishna, can start thinking of Krishna again in the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, talk about Krishna is a very natural. What else should they talk about? And then, as one hears in such association, one first will develop Shraddha, then one will develop a great taste, and then one will develop love of Godhead. This comes step by step, anukramishyati. So, Haridas Thakur said that the antidote or the medicine against forgetfulness of Krishna is the association of devotees. When you eat their remnants, that means you are in their association, you are close by. My dear devotees, I found this passage to be very, very important for my own chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When we look up in the pages of Chaitanya Bhagavat, we hear that Haridas Thakur would chant and remember Krishna. He would think of Krishna. He would go on the banks of the Ganga, and he would simply be absorbed in the divine tastes of Krishna consciousness. He would sing and he would change the bodily color of his body with all that excitement and absorption in Krishna consciousness. He would tremble and sometimes fall, and he would appear just like a transcendental madman possessed by the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haridas Thakur thought of Lord Krishna very, very much. And he taught us that we must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with a feeling of sambandha, a feeling of relationship to Krishna. What this means and how to apply that practically in our lives will be explained a little bit later. But for now, I would like to say that chanting, we need to combine the sound vibration with feeling the presence of Lord Krishna or coming into the presence of Lord Krishna. In other words, chanting with a feeling of relationship. Prabhupada said that the chanting must be done in the mood of a child who feels the relationship to the mother and cries out to the mother for help. This is a good example of a relationship, a dependent relationship, and an affectionate relationship. When you chant, you must, in other words, be connected with the person whose name you chant. This means remembering Krishna. Mindless, mechanical chanting will not do. And I would like to illustrate this with a wonderful story from Chaitanya Charitamrita, a story of faith. It is said that anyone who hears this particular pastime will have his faith increase vehemently, in a big way. Haridas Thakur was so absorbed in his chanting. He lived at the bank of the Ganga, and as we heard this morning, he would chant 192 rounds a day. Is this correct? 3 times 64, huh? Is 192. Ooh. This means, my dear devotees, that you have only 2 hours, if someone does this, 2 hours for sleeping, for eating, for answering emails. Most probably you will not do that. 2 hours, eating, sleeping, what else do we do? Worrying, no, that doesn't happen when you chant so much. 2 hours, or 22 hours a day you chant. So Haridas Thakur chanted so in the night. Now one night, the bank of the Ganga, all of a sudden, was bathed in an effulgence. And the effulgence came closer and closer to where Haridas was chanting. Full of light, fluorescent light, the atmosphere changed and all of a sudden became the best of romantic atmospheres, but in a material way. And all of a sudden, Haridas Thakur saw her, the person from whom this light had come. It was Maya Devi personified. She walked into where Haridas was chanting. Now it is described that the ladies who were associating with Ravana had 13 different colors as an eye makeup, just for the eye. 13 different colors. This is a lot. I don't know if any one of you has so many. And they, because they knew the art of attracting the males. Eyes to the eyes, where the Chaitanya lies. Now when Maya Devi came, she was so attractive, my dear devotees, that we cannot even start to describe it. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes one attempt by saying that she made gestures and movements which were so provocative that they would have had imbalanced the mind even of Lord Brahma, the supreme vice creator of this universe. Maya Devi was irresistible. The fragrance which emanated from her body, the beautiful erotic gestures she made, the ultimate temptations which came from her. No one of us would even have been able to look with closed eyes in her direction without bodily transformations. She was so absolutely enchanting and heavy. Haridas said, "What do you wish?" And the same answer came, which the prostitute had told Haridas earlier. But this time the answer came 1,000,000 times more powerful. "I want union with you, my hero." Alone, the voice of Maya Devi was so unestimate, undescribable. Haridas said, "I have my vrata. My vrata is also there. I will finish it. You peacefully sit. And after this, I will see for the fulfillment of your desires." So Maya Devi sat down and Haridas chanted. And his chanting was so absolutely Krishna conscious. The Lord cannot resist to come to a devotee who chants his holy name and who lovingly meditates about him. So that when Haridas chanted and the morning sun rose, I think it was also three nights, after the third night, Maya Devi said, "I have to make a confession to you. I came as a devotee of Lord Rama here. But as I hear you chanting and feel the divine influence of the holy names as you are chanting, I feel that I should give my life to Krishna and become initiated in the Krishna Nama. Please initiate me and please teach me how to chant." So Haridas Thakur did so. My dear devotees, this means that the powerful material energy, Maya Devi, is also initiated in the chanting of the holy name. Maya Devi will also come to someone who chants and give some temptation. And Maya Devi will only leave the devotee who takes shelter in Krishna and becomes absorbed in Krishna's holy name. When you chant the holy name and you are not absorbed following in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur, Maya Devi will give you a call. Maya Devi will take her telephone, which is your own mind, which is totally under the control of the powerful material energy. And she will ring you up. Oops. How to switch this off? Help me, I can't switch it off.
Good.
Someone has saved me. This was my call for Maya. I never use a mobile telephone, but it was in my sannyasi bag. And she called me, la lu la lu la la lu. This is what will happen when you try to chant the holy name, but you are not protected, you're not absorbed, you are only using the lips, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, oh, I've chanted so much, I have chanted a lakh, but no love for Krishna. Oh, what a counting game. You know, in Germany, the children have this little counting games, 1, 2, 3, 4, that's how they learn. Oh, what a counting game. You must bring your mind to the chanting of the holy name. You must bring your heart to the chanting of the holy name. This only will immunize you against Maya's call. And Maya hides herself even in the red bag of a sannyasi. What to speak in the Samsonite bag of a grihastha. Or the pocket of the brahmacharis. It is a very powerful material energy. The first thing, how you will feel Maya's calling is, as you are chanting and becoming purified, the old sanskaras, that means the old impressions and old desires, will come forward and they will give you a hard time. But as you continue to chant, a greater obstacle comes. It's the false ego, which feels profound grief that now, where you are chanting the holy name, its dominion has to stop. And you will find, as you chant many rounds, that really you don't want to chant. It's not you who gives this signal. It's Maya who works through your false ego, so that you feel rebellion in your heart against the fact that Krishna is the supreme controller. Chanting means to give enjoyment to Krishna. Chanting doesn't mean so much to control your mind. Chanting doesn't mean to spend 2 hours doing nothing. Chanting means to give enjoyment for Krishna in the mood of doing the Nam Seva, the service to the holy name. As I said, we need to be fixed in Sambandha, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us 3 simple exercises which we can do when we chant, while chanting. Those of you who are accustomed to take notes, this is now a good time to take notes. First of all, a devotee who chants makes it clear to his mind that he is now chanting the holy name who is identical with Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vikrahai Nitya Mukto Puno Shudho Binatvang Nama Namino. This is the first meditational step, that you understand the holy name is identical with Krishna. The second step is that as you are chanting, you meditate about the meaning of the holy name. My dear Lord, or my dear Srimati Radharani, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. This should be inside your mind. It should be there. And the third step is that you pray to Krishna with heart rendering, lamentation. The mood is shown to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those of you who know this shloka, please chant with me. Ai nanda tanuya kinkaram patitang mam vishame bhavam budo kripaya tava pada pankaja stita dulisa drisham vichintaya. You chant in the mood that, my dear Lord, I'm sinking in the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me out of the ocean and fix me at the lotus feet of yours. I like to tell these stories at a place where I have not told it, but 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, 4 years, I was at the Canarian Islands. I had given 3 lectures on that day and wanted to take a little swim to refresh myself before I would give the 4th lecture. Then I was jumping into the waters, and I was living for 8 years on an island between Germany and Denmark, and I'm a quite reasonable swimmer, at least I was. So I was swimming, and I noticed all of a sudden how swiftly I was swimming. I thought, oh, this is the power of prasadam. I'm swimming so exceedingly swiftly. I should announce my name to the Olympiadic Games. I'm highly talented at swimming. It was really, the landscape was shooting by, and I was highly proud of myself. When I decided it's time to return. But when I returned, or made efforts to return, I noticed that as I was swimming, I was further moving out into the ocean. Strange. I swam quite vigorously, but still I was slowly being pulled away from the coastal line. Then I said, this is a challenge which Sachinandan Swami will take with bravour and give all my vigorous swimming potency to it. But still I lost. All of a sudden, the high waves were there, and they were rolling over me, pushing me underwater, so that due to an excess of salt water, all the content of my body mixed with the ocean. It was vomiting outside, like a volcano. I started to lose oxygen, was pushed underwater, and the first thing I remember which came to my mind was, oh no, here Sachinandan Swami is drowning like an ordinary German tourist. I wanted to die gloriously in Vrindavan. I wanted to tell the devotees, please, now my hour of glorious death has come. Take me from the bed and place me into the dust of Braj. Oh, for the ISKCON news. But here I'm drowning, drowning like a careless German tourist who hadn't seen the warning on the beach. Don't swim in the high waters. And then only after the shock and this rebellion against your own death, the prayer came to my lips. Oh, my Lord, I have forgotten you. If this is now the way you wish me to die, all right, what to do? But if you have in your corner of the mind a little sympathy for a person who has not finished his sadhana, please, you save me, but give me also the intelligence that I know how you save me. Then I felt in the heart a command, peaceful, peaceful, stay peaceful. I will send now waves which will roll towards the beach. You just swim with the waves, and when you are pulled out again by the current, don't resist. Allow yourself to be pulled out again. So in this way we came to the beach. 12 meters with the waves, 11 meters away from the beach with the current. Again, 12 meters, 11 meters, 12 meters to 11 meters away, back and forth until we had learned the prayer, Ayinanda Tanuya. I'm drowning. My Lord, I'm drowning. Please fix me at your safe lotus feet. And my dear devotees, when I was finally, after this meter by meter by meter approach on the beach, I knew I was still drowning in the ocean of material life. And the prayer was revolving in my mind the whole night. I was just praying to the Lord. So these are three steps how to absorb the mind in Krishna. The first step, Nama Chintamani Krishna, think of that this name is Krishna. You have heard it from Prabhupada. You have heard it from the Padma Purana. The second step is become aware of the meaning of the mantra. This is also what Sanatana Goswami writes in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, in the Mantranava section, where it's explained how you chant a mantra. You have to become mindful of the meaning of the mantra. And thirdly, have a prayerful attitude. Now you might say, Maharaj, Maharaj, this is too difficult. To chant and to think of Krishna, two things at once, impossible. But my dear devotees, it's not. Remember your last meal when you sat with your friend. There were two things going on. Your friendship with your friend and the consumption of the meal. There was not too much. Friendship and meal taking is actually good to take with friends together meals. So when you chant and take the holy name, it's an underlying mood, this relationship with Krishna. It's not too difficult. It's in the experience of every human being. It is not something which you should say, no, this is too complicated, this is too advanced. No, this is what Namacharya Haridas Thakur prays for, and this is what he did. He was always absorbed in Krishna meditation. This is very important. I would like to now end with two other little points, but these are little points. I would like to remind all of us of a verse which Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites in Bhagavat Archa Marichi Mala, a book of him, of his, which is a summary of the Bhagavatam. And there he has taken the subjects of the Bhagavatam into different chapters, and one chapter is dedicated to the chanting of the holy name. And in this chapter, he gives us a prayer, he quotes a prayer from the Bhagavatam, which more or less summarizes this idea of chanting with a feeling of sambandha, a feeling of relationship to Krishna. He quotes this prayer of Vritasura, the demon who transformed into a great devotee of Krishna. Vritasura, the story is explained in the Garuda Purana as the hallmark mark, that which makes the Bhagavatam outstanding. It's because it's a beautiful story of a transformation, the transformation of the heart. So Vritasura at the end, towards the battle with Indra, prays to Indra to allow him to give up the sinful body and go back home, back to Godhead. And he says one verse which expresses his longing, a verse which really also expresses, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the mood of chanting. He says, as baby birds who have not yet developed their wings always long for the mother to come and feed them, I also long for direct service to you. And my Lord, as a calf which is tied and stuck away from his mother, always longs for the mother to drink the milk, I also yearn to render direct service to you. And my Lord, as a morose wife whose husband is absent, always waits for her husband to come back so that she can serve him, I also long for the opportunity to serve you. Have you ever seen baby birds yearning for their mother? Maybe you are from India and or from Mumbai, and in Mumbai we don't see birds any longer. But I know from where I come from, in the springtime, these baby birds open their mouth like this. They may be small like this, but they have the mouth like this. It's only mouth which you see, and it's red inside, and they go... You just very urgently, they really want the mother to come. Or have you seen in Vrindavan how the farmers bind the calves near to the cow, and then the cow feels so much love for the calf, and then the farmer comes and goes, chup, 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 chup. And have you seen the calf wanting to go to the mother? This is how a devotee wants to go, yearns for Krishna. And have you seen a wife? In India, I heard when the husband was absent, the wives would not put ornaments, would not move out of the house, and would be very mental that my husband is not there, and would be very morose. And then when the husband comes, yoo-hoo, it comes forward and... wants to render, I have cooked this, I have made this, and I have prepared this swing. Sit down on your swing and swing the swing, and so on. Yes, so this is how a devotee... This was olden... You laugh because it's no longer... Hare Krishna. Anyways, look at the example, the point really. So this yearning for Krishna is very important if you chant Hare Krishna. To think, oh my Lord, I want to come to you, I want to glorify you. We will now turn over the microphone to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who will most properly give us the complete background of Haridas Thakur. Please, as you now listen to Haridas Thakur, go deeply into the meditation of Haridas Thakur. Try to absorb his personality. If you do so, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will bless you with an increased ability to chant the holy name. In the Padma Purana, it is said that one gets 1% of the qualities of the personality about whom one meditates. Please note this. Do you know why teenagers put so many posters on their walls? Of, you know, maybe film stars or music stars, because they feel, if I look at this person, I will become like that person. I will become influenced by the qualities of the person. And it does work psychologically. So if you can absorb your mind into the personality of Haridas Thakur, his qualities will enter into you. That's why we hear the Mahimnas, the glories of these personalities in the sacred place. You will actually get the blessings of Haridas Thakur for your chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and you will become an ecstatic devotee of the holy name. Because the blessing of Lord Chaitanya is there, that anyone who is even somewhat related with Haridas will get all the blessings. All the blessings and love of Godhead. He will easily come running in the direction of this person. Because if you meditate about a person, qualities of that person will enter. In Vyasadeva's commentary to Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, it says, one can control the vrittis, that means the thought waves, by concentrating on one who has transcended human passions and attachments. So let us now raise our hands. Jaya Jaya Haridasa. Jaya Jaya Haridasa. Jaya Haridasa. Jaya Jaya Haridasa. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadram ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.